This episode is brought to you by CarterComics.com. It's your one-stop shop for all your comic needs, whether it be graded or raw. Carter Comics has got it all. All you gotta do is go to CarterComics.com, fill your cart up with all their amazing comics. Use the discount code FREAKNET, F-R-E-A-K-N-E-T. Save you 10% at checkout. Not only on their website, but also at their eBay account. And the link to eBay can be found on their homepage at CarterComics.com. Again, CarterComics.com is your one-stop shop for all comic needs.
It's time! It's time!
All right, guys, it's that time we have to in the ring with the greatest faction in podcast history, Jazz Freak of Wrestling, the JFW podcast, hosted by Travesty.
I'm Dizzle J.
Dizzle J is back. Mr. 33% has returned. And, you know, it's amazing because it's not only based on the fact that, you know, you do 33% of the work, but you're only here like 33% of the month now, which is fantastic. Yeah. Really living up to that fucking name.
It's great to be a CEO.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about AEW Dynasty. We're going to talk a little bit about AEW. Well documented in any show that you listen to on JFW that we don't really watch a lot of AEW. I watch very little of it, and Dizzle J watches less than that. And it's not because, you know, we don't like their pro wrestling. It's just, I just have a hard time really buying into what they have done, even though they have been around for like, what, 4 years now or whatever the hell it's been.
Yeah. Something like that. WCW2 is what it turned into.
Pretty much. I think I said that from the very beginning. Yeah. Like, it's just, you know, like 96, 97 to ACW where it kicks off and it's great. And it's old WWE guys coming in. You know, they just stock the roster with WWE guys, you know. But we don't got to relive that because they have done shitty things even now. And we talked a little bit about it earlier this week. I asked Nubby and Pac-Man a question about AEW. And I said I wanted to get your opinion on it. I want to start off by asking about the CM Punk footage. Was released from the London show, and I want to get your thoughts. First off, did you watch the footage?
Yes, I watched the footage. Of course, I watched the footage.
Did you watch the whole segment or just the footage that was released?
I just watched the footage. I saw Shivani's reaction afterwards.
The pure disappointment in his face.
Yeah, the pure disappointment. I mean, I get it.
Yeah,
you want to make Punk look bad, but let's CM Punk. Right. He's a punk in his name.
Yep.
Looks like Jack Perry fuck around and found out. Like I can tell by the video that it's probably a security camera surveillance, so therefore they cannot have sound. I know that from my background. So
is that the case even if it's overseas? Because that was England, right? You know, that was a lot of it.
I'm not 100% sure. I know. America, I know in Illinois, for sure. If you do that, there has to be some kind of documentation. Yeah, so it could be the same over there.
Yeah. Well, so your opinion, did it help or hurt AEW?
Oh, it hurt them. It made them look weak.
Yeah.
Made Jack Perry look weak. It made Tony Khan look weak. What was he afraid of for his life? You had Samoa Joe right there. Yeah. Joe's obviously not going to let Punk attack you. You're his cash cow.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I still have yet to really figure out why they, I mean, their reasoning for doing it is to prove that, you know, Punk went on to the that MMA Hour interview and he discussed the situation, which is actually really cool because, you know, if the other WWE guy was still in charge,
discussions of AEW would not happen.
No, not
it
at
seems,
all.
It seems ever since Triple H took over, he's like, you know, hey, fuck it. Let it fly. Excuse me. You know, talk about whatever you want. You know, this is professional wrestling. You know, let's... I know there was... I can't remember who the hell it was, but they did talk about how a lot of guys are starting to have more freedom in their characters and promos and stuff now.
Right.
So for them to go on interviews and, you know, for Cody Rhodes and CM Punk especially to be able to talk about AEW in their WWE interviews and shit like that, it's something that they should have been able to do a long fucking time ago. I can understand why the other guy wouldn't want to, because why promote one company? You know, why do any type of promotion for your competitor on our, you know, on our stuff? Obviously, MMA Hour is not a WWE thing. It's its own separate thing that, you know, they do. But at the same time, it's like you want to be able to have the big guys, Punk and Rhodes, and I guess Jade Cargill, too. We could include her in it. I don't think Andrade has done any interviews, but to sit there and explain why they left one place to come either back to or to WWE. And I understand that. Yeah. And I understand why the Bucks wanted to do it, because they wanted to be like, well, you know, if Punk's going to tell his side of the story, we should be able to tell our side. And what better way than telling it than just showing it? The problem is you couldn't hear what was said. So when people are going around, and I think I saw a couple comments on Facebook, you know, with and some comment stream on some wrestling page. That's not ours. You should be on ours, not, you know, whatever. But they talk about like, oh, you'll see him Punk's, you know, he's a coward. He attacked, you know, Perry when he was putting his hair up. It's like, yeah, but what did Perry say? Like, what was really said that made Punk want to shove the dude? You know, it's not like he grappled Perry instantly while he was putting his hair up. He shoved Perry and then the altercation took place. It was an embarrassment to wrestling as a whole that they did that, but I get why they did it. I just don't think it came over like they thought.
And this is all over the, what Perry wasn't using real glass in a spot, right?
Punk didn't want Perry. Yeah. Punk didn't want Perry, or Punk's told Perry there's no reason to use real glass, and Perry did anyways. And then he, I think this was on Rampage. I think it was, or some spot, and Perry looked at the camera and said, real glass, cry me a river, or some shit like that. Which is weird, because like I said, and that was part of it that Punk told in his interview. And it's like I said on Monday, the best part was like they did shot for shot what was happening in the security shot and the story he was telling in the interview. And everything lined up. The only thing that didn't was, I think he said that Perry like threw a punch and he defended himself. Well, I think the punch wasn't really thrown until after Punk shoved him. But again, I'm not sure what was said that made, Punk shove Perry right off.
Right.
The idea that Khan was threatened with his life, and all, you know, Punk did was just, you know, lean over into the gorilla area and start yelling at him. And I was like, I'm sorry, but yeah, if you feel that's, you're you feel threatened for your life, your life is in danger, you know, you're going to have to grow the fuck up real fucking quick, because clearly you've never been yelled at before, which he probably hasn't. You know, he's you know, probably a fucking rich kid who was well protected his entire life.
I'll tell you what, he can come get yelled at by my mom and see what real fear is. Shit.
Like, moms are terrified. Fucking moms are terrified. But yeah, anyways, I don't want this be all about me and everything. I said all this on Monday. I want to get your opinion on the whole situation and how you felt that it did more harm than good.
You know, I think if you would have just let it pass. My problem with AEW, and a big problem besides the Spot Monkey bullshit, is that they always constantly take shots at WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just another way of trying to take a shot at a WWE guy. For what reason? What did it get you? What, viewers for 5 seconds just mm-hmm. to see the video? And then now you didn't do anything to Punk but make him look strong.
No.
You made Perry look like a pussy. Your owner looks like a pussy. how does it fit in any kind of storyline? How do you use this? You can't.
Yeah.
If it was like, if you could further a story with it, I could understand it. But Jack Perry is what, in New Japan right now, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
So it's like, it doesn't make sense. And again, you saw Shivani's reaction. Shivani's been around long enough to know that this is stupid. What you just did was stupid.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody online praising it. Even the AEW marks. Those guys are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I constantly get in arguments. One of them was a good friend of mine, and we go back and forth. But I think they're just reaching for anything to make themselves relevant, and that was not the thing to be.
No, and it's interesting because, like, you know, as you mentioned, as everyone's mentioned, as I've mentioned, AEW just reminds us of ICW. And if you recall, in ICW, one of their ways of getting back at AEW was, you know, giving out the results of their taped shows.
Yeah.
And I think it was Tony Schiavone who was reading them off when they announced that Mankind was winning the title that night.
Bischoff.
Was it? No. Bischoff didn't read that. I'm pretty sure it was Tony Schiavone.
I'll have to look that up later.
Yeah, look it up, because I'm pretty sure I remember Schiavone saying it. I thought I remembered it in one of the documentaries that WWE did when they talked about it, that Tony was the one reading it off. And because they used to do split commentating, like one side commentators did the first half, and I think Bischoff was in the second half, and Tony was in the first half, and they read it off in the first half. Double check. I'm pretty sure I'm right on this. Because I think I remember Tony Schiavone saying, yeah, that'll put some butts in the seats, and that didn't remembering that moment, I know that didn't sound like Bischoff. I could have sworn it's Schiavone. So look it up. Prove yourself wrong, because I get tired of having to do it for you. But it's the same damn thing. As soon as they announced Mankind was winning, everyone flipped over to go watch that shit.
Right.
You know, they do this to be like, oh, well, let's stick one to WWE. It's like, it didn't help. It's like all you did is show everyone what CM Punk said happened and what people know CM Punk to be. And what CM Punk did at WrestleMania, what CM Punk did in all his promos leading up to WrestleMania, is he's going to do what he wants, and he's going to be a dick while doing it. I mean, I think one of the first promos he did after coming back, so he's not there to make friends, he's there to make fucking money.
Right.
Which is a dick thing to say, but it's an honest thing to say. So it's like, it's not like, you know, you had footage of John Cena slapping a fucking rookie in the face because he wasn't listening to his opinions and shit. You know, CM Punk's not that kind of babyface. You know, he's not even a fucking Cody Rhodes babyface. He's an Austin guy, a Triple H guy, a Rock guy, you know, a guy who, regardless of his attitude, could still be liked by people just by being an asshole. You know, he's not a Hulk Hogan. They 100% they fucked up on their end.
I don't get it. I don't. And I argue with my other buddy all the time. I tell him that TNA puts out a better product.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've seen, they are the combination of WWE and AEW. That I've been a TNA, like, not a one organization fan.
You're back to it being TNA?
I watch them all.
Are you glad it's no longer just Impact, it's now TNA again?
I love that it's TNA again. I hated the Impact, just sounds stupid. And everybody called it TNA anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hurting right now. I think they missed Scott D'Amore, but all in all, it's an all-around good product.
Yeah.
And it was Eric Bischoff.
What?
It was Eric Bischoff who read it.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Eric Bischoff giving away raw results.
Yeah, it wasn't Bischoff. It wasn't. If I knew you could keep talking long enough for me to look it up myself, I would. But I don't need the dead air happening. So.
I'm aware.
Yeah. So fuck it, I'm gonna look it up. You keep talking.
We need a Jamie on our show like Rogan does.
Who gave away a Mankind finish?
So the nice thing also is nowadays that you see, I don't know if you've ever listened to Busted Open.
WCW commentator Tony Schiavone gave away the ending of Raw on January 4th, 1999 at the instruction of Eric Bischoff. This backfired and Mick Foley reminds Bischoff about it every time they see each other.
The video here says Bischoff.
No, no, I'll tell you, man.
Oh, well. I'm not stupid that I'm wrong.
I would be either if I was you. It happens so fucking often.
It makes for good TV.
And you know what? To give you 33% of the credit, it was Bischoff's idea. Get out of here. Oh, I'm so sick of you. This is why the door's shut. Because I don't need a dog in here fucking rattling his shit. Come here. Come here.
Just misses me. Heard my voice.
Can't hear you. There. All right. I'll fucking do what you want. All right. Well, that's right. Doing it live, pal. All right. Will Ospreay. Talk to me about your opinions of his interview with Renee about, you know, the fun he poked at Triple H. Did you hear about that? Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that part of the interview. You're saying stuff that has been said since the Attitude Era.
Yeah, we're going about 25 years that this has been mentioned at some point by somebody.
Yeah, I mean, and then you're not even very, I don't even know if you can be original about it anymore because of all the stuff that's been said.
Punk. I think Punk was one of the first guys to fucking constantly bring that up, you know?
I think Triple H even poked fun at himself throughout the years, if I'm not correct. Mm-hmm. No, so it's like, You didn't like that. He said you didn't want to grind. Well, you didn't.
Yeah. I don't think he put down his wrestling ability. It's it's very similar to I can't even make the reference right now because I can't remember the guy's name. But if you're a baseball fan, you know the issues that are going on with the Angels right now in their third baseman. That's Ohtani with the Dodgers and shit. They cleared him of that. But on the Angels, they signed a third baseman. I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now. But dude's making like $30-something million a fucking year right now. And he doesn't believe that he should have to play or any ball player should have to play 162 games in a year. I'm sorry. You're making like $1.8 million a fucking game. You know, play the fucking game, you know? Or I'm sorry, it's not that much, but, you know, it's whatever. Like $500,000, $400,000, whatever the fuck it is. I don't know. I don't math well. But it's like, I mean, you're making more in one game than I make my entire year, you know, fucking working. And the idea that you think you can't go out there and play, what, an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes out of a 3 or 4 hour game, 162 times out of 365 fucking years, because you're making $64 million. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
The game's not even last that long, too.
No, at the most, I think now because of the time clock, it's like three and a half hours at the absolute most. And you're only out there, you know, of the field maybe half the fucking time. 162 days out of the year. 33% of the fucking year. You know, probably it's actually more like half, but whatever. I just try to incorporate you as much as possible. Thanks. But, yeah, he wants to bitch about it. But it's the same. I think it's the same thing that happened with Will Ospreay. It's like he doesn't believe that he has to work that much to make that much money. And, you know, I don't think it was an actual dig at him. It was just the honest truth.
Right.
But then Ospreay went off and did the same thing that somebody else did. The same guy who was in the footage you're trying to fucking bury by poking fun at Triple H and his wife who fucking, you know, wears the pants in the family and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she has the final say. And it's a pathetic attempt at getting cheap fucking heat.
Right. I don't understand it. You don't see TNA back in the day did a little bit, but it went away.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in year four, year five of your company. You're still letting these guys talk about another company. that is outselling you everywhere.
Yep.
Consistently. I think ratings are better. Oh, big deal. You got on the Forbes list. You got on the Forbes list because daddy backed you.
Yeah, and he also owns a football company. So, you know, it's like...
Again, I don't want to see any company fail because competition just makes everything better. Mm-hmm. It is proven right now because look how much better WWE's gotten. They could be doing the same. TNA is going through the roof. New Japan's traveling through USA now. So it's like this is one of the best eras in wrestling right now, and you're too worried about what somebody else is doing than trying to fix your own shit. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
You got the talent.
Yeah, well, they got the e-talent. So, it's goofy that, because we'll go through the match card here in a minute for the pay-per-view this weekend. But, I mean, there's 12 matches, and a majority of them involve at least one WWE guy. And the fact that, like, you know, you're looking at all the dudes that are, like, you know, headlining and main eventing. I saw one post where, you know, they're talking about, you know, AEW champion, AEW guy, Ring of Honor champion, AEW guy, you know, WWE champion, AEW guy. You know, it's like, you sit there and you fucking look at this shit and it's like, it makes no fucking sense, first of all, because when you look at Samoa Joe, to me, he's always going to be a TNA guy.
Right.
You know, you can't sit there and say like, oh, you know, Samoa Joe's an AEW guy because he's an AEW. Okay, well, Cody Rhodes also started in WWE, went to AEW, now back in WWE. You know, Ring of Honor's, you know, yeah, sure, AEW guy's champion. Well, that's because AEW owns Ring of Honor. Like, I don't understand that shit. But then look at it the other way. AEW Women's Champion is a WWE girl. You got a TNA guy and a WWE guy wrestling for the AEW Championship at this pay-per-view, main eventing it. Now, nobody ever wants to mention that part of it?
No. And it'll be funny, dude. Like, if you see what they got rid of Jinder, Xia Lin, and somebody else yesterday, and they'll be like, call Tony Khan. Call Tony Khan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an easy paycheck.
Yeah. I am bummed that Xia Lee got let go. I loved her. I thought she'd be awesome at something. Any type of story. But I'm sure wherever she goes next, she'll be awesome. I just hope she doesn't go to AEW because she's just going to get lost in the shuffle there.
I'd rather see TNA. TNA knows how to work their women's division.
Damn.
That's where the real women's revolution started, in my opinion. So.
Oh, with the knockouts?
Yep.
That's right. To this day, I still think my favorite group is Beautiful People.
Oh, definitely. Fucking so, Bubba.
Yeah, go. Fucking hero, man.
Hero to every fat guy.
All right, let's talk about the AEW match card here. And we'll get through this, and I'll just either fill the air with whatever left or call it a day. I don't fucking know. Who the fuck knows? So we got three pre-show matches. The first one is a winner takes all for the AEW World Trios Championships and the Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Championships. You got the Acclaim, which is Anthony Bowens, Matt Caster, and Billy Gunn for the current AEW Triple Trios Champions. Taking on Bullet Club Gold, Jay White, and the Guns, Austin Gunn and Colton Guns, who are the current Ring of Honor Six-Man Championship. Let's see here. Pac-Man went with Bullet Club Gold. Nubby went with the Acclaimed. Who are you going with?
I'll go with the Acclaimed. It's fun to see Billy Gunn perform still. He's performing at a good level, too.
You mean WWE guy?
Yeah, WWE guy.
WWE guy? Yeah. I'm gonna go with Bullet Club Gold. Jay White, New Japan guy. You know, whatever. Not saying anything, but I'm going to pick them to go for the winner take all. But, you know, I can't see the Acclaim. I mean, the Acclaim still gets over. They're so comical. But I don't know. I think for some reason I see the Bullet Club Gold picking up the win in that one. Trent Barreto versus Matt Sydal in a singles match. Pac-Man went Barreto. Nubby went Sydal. I'm going to go Barreto. I think because he was the one that betrayed Cassidy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think they're going to do a little bit of a push for him.
I didn't realize Sydal was still there.
You know what? He's on the pre-show. So also 30E guy. So, I mean, how Evan Bourne.
So is Barreto.
Tag team matchup. Got Orange Cassidy and Katsuyori Shibata. Shibata? I don't fucking know. Shibata bread? Whatever. Versus Shane Taylor Promotions with Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty with Anthony Ogogo. I don't fucking know. He's with somebody. I do my best to read fucking names, and yeah, I'm not going to fucking kill myself over trying to figure it out. Let's see here. Pac-Man went with Taylor Promotions. Nubby went with Orange Cassidy and Katsuyori. I'm gonna go with Orange. What about you?
Yeah, I'll go Cassidy.
Okay, so on the main card, we got a trios match with Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe taking on the House of Black with Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews. Pac-Man went with Copeland, Kingston, and Briscoe. Nubby went House of Black. Who you got?
House of Black.
Okay, I'm going to go Copeland, Kingston, and Briscoe.
I know Copeland's on a bit of a roll, so... Wait, isn't he the TNT champion right now?
Yep. That he is, man.
Is that only defended on TV?
I don't know. Is it only defended on TNT?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know why they're doing this six-man. Again, I don't follow the stories and shit on AEW, but, I mean, come on now. It's fucking, for some reason, they keep pushing Eddie Kingston like he's the end-all, be-all. Nothing against him. I'm just not into him. Adam Copeland, obviously, you know, Edge is Edge. A WWE guy. Malakai Black, WWE guy. Buddy Matthews, WWE guy. But hey, whatever. FTW rules match for the FTW championship. I guess FTW is no disqualification. FTW rules or whatever.
I'm assuming.
Current champion Hook is taking on Chris Jericho. Pac-Man and Nubby both went with Hook. I'm also going Hook. What about you?
I'm going Hook. Although there are rumors that Hook is leaving.
That won't surprise me. I don't see them playing the FTW championship on anyone if he's going out the door, but I think actually, because Hook is Taz's kid, right?
Yeah, Hook is Taz's kid.
Yeah, I don't see, you know, Taz, you know, hating the fact Hook heading over to different companies to do some different shit, so. Singles match for the AEW International Championship. I actually forget that this is a title sometimes. current champion Roderick Strong is taking on Kyle O'Reilly. Pac-Man went Strong. Nubby went O'Reilly. Who you got? You got Roderick Strong or Kyle O'Reilly?
I'm going to go Strong.
Yeah, I think Strong's going to retain. Well, here you go. This maybe answer your TNT question, but house rules match, which I'm not quite sure what that is. As part of the House of Black gimmicks, select matches involving a stable such as title matches are considered under house rules in May 2023. Matthew specified that a house rules match would have no rope breaks, forced disqualifications, and 20-second countouts. As a concession, the House of Black allows their opponents to choose an additional stipulation. For example, in All In 2023, the acclaimed stipulation for their Trios Championship match against the House was that it was conducted under no-holds-barred rules. Cool. So Julia Hart, current champion, current AEW TBS champion, will be taking on Willow Nightingale along with Stokely Hathaway. Pac-Man went Willow. Nubby went Hart. I'm going to go Willow. Who do you got?
Let's go Hart.
Hart, okay. Singles match for the AEW Continental Championship. Also didn't realize that was a title till just now. Kazushika Okada, current champion, will be taking on Pac. Not be confused with the dipshit who I co-host with on Mondays. Pac-Man's going Okada. Nubby's going Pac. I'm going Okada. Who you got?
Okada. I love that he figured out that he's been called Pac-Man since 2013.
I know, right? Right? But I'm the fucking bad guy who started fucking saying it. My name's Pac-Man. My name's PX.
Pac-Man sounds cooler.
Well, and the fact that everyone's fucking doing it now. The LIM's calling him Pac-Man. Fucking Power Hour's calling him Pac-Man. I mean, the only people that still call him PX is, I think, the fucking, you know, owners of Rocket Pro Wrestling. I mean, let's face it, Pac-Man is a fucking cooler fucking, you know, name. And the fact that, you know, they never rolled with it because, you know, they're all like the lowly intoxicated men, you know, and they're all drinking. Six pack?
None of them?
It was right there. It was right there, and they fucking dropped the ball. Which makes sense. I mean, have you seen them? None of them are athletic.
No, I have not watched or listened or to them.
Yeah, I would. You know what? It's entertaining. It really is entertaining when, you know, they're not trying to, like, put themselves... Well, I guess they're not putting themselves over. Pac-Man's putting himself over. But it's entertaining to watch. It is. Gabagool is the absolute best. He is phenomenal. Love that dude.
Also, he was on the show.
What's up?
When he was on was JFW, he's like, I gotta go. Then like 15 minutes later,
yeah,
he hasn't shut up yet, but yeah. he doesn't talk like an idiot.
No, he is definitely even when JFW and LIM had their issues and shit, he was still a huge fan of Travesty, which, you know, you can't fucking blame the dude. I'm awesome. Yeah. Tournament final ladder match for the vacant AEW World Tag Team Championship. You got the Young Bucks, Nicholas Jackson and Matthew Jackson going up against FTR, Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler. Pac-Man and Nubby are both going FTR. Who you going with, man?
I'm going to go Bucks.
You know, I was thinking Bucks too.
I feel like they're putting themselves over.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go Bucks. I just think it's because they're more. I don't know. I think that the Bucks FTR thing is gonna go on longer, and I think if the heels pick it up, then, you know, it's the babyface is chasing it. So I guess from a Booker's perspective, it makes more sense if you want to move it along. So I'll go Bucks. Singles match for the AEW World. Oh, by the way, FTR, dead you guys. Singles match for the AEW Women's World Championship. You got AEW champion Toni Storm, timeless Toni Storm, which, by the way, huge fan of Marilyn Monroe, so love this gimmick.
It's a cool gimmick.
It is really cool. She'll be brought to the ring by Mariah May and Luther, and she'll be going one-on-one with Thunder Rosa. Pac-Man went Storm. Nubby went Rosa. Sorry. I'm going to go Storm. I'm going to say Storm on this one.
I'm going to go Rosa. She never lost the championship to begin with.
Solid pick. Singles match, Will Ospreay versus Brian Danielson. Pac-Man will win Danielson. Nubby went Ospreay. I'm going Ospreay. What about you?
Ooh. I'm going to go Ospreay. But that's going to be a hell of a match.
That could be match of the night.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah. And then finally, main event, we got the singles match for the AEW World Championship. Samoa Joe, current champion, taking on Swerve Strickland, along with Prince Nana. Pac-Man went Swerve, Nubby went Joe. Who you going for?
I'm gonna go Joe. He hasn't been champion too long, I don't think.
He won it in December of 2023. I'm gonna go Swerve. They've had a feud that's been going on pretty long, and I know Hangman Adam Page was part of it for, but this might be his time. So cool.
All right, we got Stone Cold Light.
What?
Stone Cold Light.
Yeah. What? Cool. All right, so that pay per view is tomorrow night because there's still no pay per views on Sundays for some reason. Idiots. I don't think I got a chance to really talk to you. So we got a little bit of time left here. We don't got to fucking rush off. How'd you feel about WrestleMania?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. The only match I didn't get to see was AJ and LA Knight. Cause I had to leave one place to come to another.
Well, but I didn't back. Go back.
I could.
Yeah. So you can't sit and say like, oh man, I missed it. No, it's still fucking there. That's like saying like, man, I didn't get to try that fucking pie, and there's like half of it still in the fridge. It's like, well, go eat the fucking pie. It's like,
I don't think there was a bad match on the card.
Jimmy and Jay wasn't that good.
It could have been better, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I don't remember the Matt and Jeff match. I wasn't watching wrestling with the Owen Brett match. But it didn't seem like the emotion between Jimmy and Jay were really there. And I think that's what you really need in order to have a brother versus brother matchup happen. It wasn't bad, but it's just like, it just wasn't, it didn't draw my attention. And like, if I had to rank them from best to worst, it's definitely at the bottom of the card. Top of it is obviously the Cody Roman match, the main event.
Oh yeah, that blew the place off. I mean, and I was expecting Stone
Cold. I'm sorry. Blew the place off?
Yeah. I had bad choice of words.
I mean, I assume you're...
It blew the place up.
I'm assuming... Well, I wouldn't say that either. He could have blew the roof off the place. I assume that's what maybe you're going for.
There's no roof.
But, I mean, hey, man. I've seen the women you dated, so blowing the house makes sense. I get it. Not judging you for it. Hey, you know, I get where your mind goes from time to time, so that's fine. That's totally okay. Did you see that they're thinking about moving WrestleMania to May next year?
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's weather, pretty much weather related.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, which I think is fantastic. Like, why the fuck not?
Soldier Field.
Yeah. It wouldn't be bad. You know, it's weird because a lot of people talk about how, like, Soldier Field isn't big enough for WrestleMania, and I fucking disagree.
No, it's totally big enough.
Yeah. I know maybe it's not big enough for, like, a Super Bowl, but, yeah, you put the seating on the field and stuff, yeah, you could do WrestleMania Soldier Field.
Oh, yeah. And I thought for a half a second they actually had Ambrose.
Yep.
I was like, no.
I was expecting Dean Ambrose. I was expecting Goldust. You know, I was expecting MJF. Everyone, I think, was expecting Austin.
Yeah.
They got The Undertaker instead, which it's not a bad constellation prize if you look at it. I mean, Chokeslam wasn't the greatest. I think The Rock could have jumped a little bit harder, but who knows? Maybe that high collar bullshit Ellen DeGeneres fucking shirt he was wearing. you know, but whatever. There were a lot of. There were surprises I was hoping to see that just didn't fucking happen. And it didn't ruin the night in any way. It was just kind of like, man, that's kind of a bummer. And I know, like, there's a lot of reports out there saying, like, you know, Austin wasn't, you know, they couldn't come to a financial agreement on price. And, you know, if that's the case and it sucks, you know, I would assume that, you know, for a moment like this with the people he, like went through the business with, Triple H and The Rock and John Cena, Shelly, not so much John Cena, but the other guys, I think you'd want to be part of a moment like that. I don't see what the money factor could have been, because I think he was actually in Philadelphia at the time of WrestleMania. He was already there. So who knows what the real reason is, and if that's the real reason, it does suck, but I think the surprises that they got, obviously with John Cena coming out, Jimmy and Jace, you know, going off at the entrance, you know, The Rock, you know, Rock bombing, you know, John Cena, you know, paying tribute to their two matches that they had at, you know, back-to-back WrestleManias right. A few years back, and I think it was really cool. The aftermath following, you know, obviously Solo now kind of taking up the reins of the Bloodline. Tonga, you know, making his debut. I think Jacob Fatu is shortly behind him, and I'm sure I have no doubt he will end up in the Bloodline. I don't know if Jimmy was beaten down and kicked out of the Bloodline or if he was just disciplined. Who knows?
I think he was kicked out.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that's what's going to come down to. And Solo, I wish his win-loss record wasn't so one-sided for the past year, or else this would have been making him look way more powerful.
When you talk about his win-loss record, are you including house shows and shit?
Yeah, that's what they include on the record.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. That don't mean shit to me. I don't care about house shows. And to be honest with you, all the losses that he has on TV and on, you know, shit like that, it's not like he's getting, you know, pinned cleanly, you know, quickly. You know, there's fucking battles that happen and shit. And he's in main event fucking moments, you know? Like, you know, still gotta give the guy fucking credit. He's still a kid, man. I mean, I think he's still in his 20s, isn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, so, I mean, come on now. You know, it's like, all right, come on now.
Give him some credit. Give him some credit.
Yeah, come on now. Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think he'll do good.
Yeah, he still has plenty of time and shit, and now they're fucking creating this whole Bloodline 2.0 thing, and I saw a post on social media that I guess people are somehow, and I don't think that these are true wrestling fans. I think they're fucking trolls and shit, but people are already tired of Cody Rhodes as champion. You see that shit?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. It's like he's given the same promo for this past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Roman gave the same promo for the last 300,000 days.
Yeah. Well, I think the only difference is, like, Roman gave the same promo, you know, like, you know, every time he went out there, you know, every 3 months. Where maybe Cody's going on doing the same promo, you know, 3 times a week because he's fucking there. You know, and nothing against Roman. I get it. You know, he didn't have to fucking, it's like Brock Lesnar. And then people, they still don't understand. It's like, he didn't have to be there all the fucking time. You know, and, you know, it was a good point for like babyface to say, is like, he's not a workhorse. He's not, you know, he's not a true champion because he's only fighting, defending it 4 times a year or whatever the fuck it is. Like, that's what made it better. You know, it's like that's what made him more of a heel. It's like he'll come when he, you know, when it's important to be there. You know, it's.
I'll choose what I do.
Yeah, so it's fans that sit there and say, it's like, oh god, you know, Cody needs to stop, blah blah. It's like, fuck you, people. It's like, it was a great fucking build up. I'm still pissed. Fuck you, WWE. I'm still waiting for the backstage documentary that's supposed to come out about WrestleMania 40 that was supposed to come out, I think, last Wednesday. Still hasn't come out yet.
Did you watch the Bray Wyatt one?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I watched it the day after it came out. Loved it. I love the fact that now they're actually bringing that idea to life still. Even after he's gone, you know, the idea of the Uncle Howdy stuff happening and... I don't know if Eric Rowan and Braun Strowman are supposed to be part of it. I hope to God they are. It's just so unfortunate that, you know, that they planned out this whole big fucking story and Bray just couldn't be around to see it. But that documentary, it's honestly, like, there's a good chance I'm going to watch it again fairly soon here, probably tomorrow. I got a very busy weekend. I got SCW tonight and I got some family parties tomorrow, but I'll probably watch it maybe tomorrow evening again, just because it was really fucking good. And I know, at least for me, I was always curious on, like, what happened. Like, you know, why did he end up passing away and everything? And then you find out, not to put your business out there, but I know her conditions really impact you in a way, you know, right, in your life. So I'm sure it wasn't easy to listen to, but
actually Jerome watched it with me, which is weird because Jerome doesn't usually watch documentaries with me, but he's a big Bray Wyatt guy, yeah, big Undertaker guy. He likes the dark. So he watched it with me and he's like, oh, it made him feel like he's not the only one. Yeah. So that helps.
Yeah. It's, I don't know what the difference is between, because I mean, you know my collection of Day-E DVDs, all those documentaries and stuff. They're still boxed up in the next room and shit. But somehow the documentaries that are coming out now are just different. Like, I don't know what it is, but they're just, like, the Cody Rhodes one that came out, the Bray Wyatt one that came out, the Dirty Legends are on A&E right now. There's just a different fucking feel to them, and they're incredible to fucking watch. God, there's like fucking four Ric Flair ones out there for some fucking reason, but the one that's on Peacock is the best. You know, it's and I don't think it's just a production and quality thing. I think it's just the way everything pans out and how they're talking about it. And I think they're more real about the shit now.
I think it's less of a promotional.
Yeah. I think it's more about telling the story than it is about making money off of it.
Right.
But yeah, it's so fucking cool. I'm a huge fan of documentaries, not even just wrestling, just overall. I love fucking docuseries and documentaries and learning about shit that you hear about, but you don't really know about until you actually, like, learn about it. And
right,
I think it's the same thing, you know. And, like, you know, you could hear about Cody Rhodes' story, you know, pun intended, but the journey from, you know, WWE to AEW back to WWE and the indies in between and shit. But until you watch the timeline unfold, that you really don't fucking know what happened. Yeah. And that's the same thing with Bray Wyatt, you know. Like, as far as we know, he was here 1 minute and then he was gone. You know, you didn't know about or hear about the struggles from what went on, you know, from him departing WWE and what he did on his time off and then came back. And, you know, you don't hear about that shit. You just hear that he's fucking gone and now he's back. And it's rough because, you know, you sit here and you look at his final days in WWE, you know, where he put out a few of these promos that were near and dear to him that came from Rotunda, not Bray Wyatt, talking about the fans and all this shit. And it reminds you so much, well, at least me, of Warriors last night in Raw. That final promo he did before he passed away that fucking night. It's crazy because, like, I sit here and I always explain wrestling to people. I was like, oh, it's a soap opera with body slams. It's storytelling with, you know, physical contact and shit. And then there are moments that happen that really bring that concept true to life.
Right.
It's like, I mean, like, the idea that, you know, the Warrior went out there and the last thing he said to a crowd of people is that the Ultimate Warrior will live forever, just to unfortunately pass away. It's a poetic moment that it's heartbreaking, but at the same time, you know it's true. And the Warrior's never been, like, a fan favorite over the years. You know, like, there were people who loved them, children who loved them because of the colors and the energy and the excitement. And then you get guys who are like, yeah, okay, it's overplayed, it's cartoony, his promos aren't that great, but he still made an impact in this fucking business. And right. people who just get into wrestling. Children, kids, you know, kids your kid age, you know, between, you know, 8 and 14 years old who know dick about the fucking 90s or even the 80s, but they want to learn about it. They're going to learn about Macho Man Randy Savage, Jake the Snake Roberts, you know, Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, you know, Shawn Michaels. You know, they're going to learn about these fucking guys who created what WWE ended up being in the 90s. In the 80s, it wasn't really much. You know, obviously you had WrestleMania, but you didn't have Raw. You didn't have the weekly episodes and the weekly shows. You had the house shows with the pay-per-view from time to time, and all of a sudden the character development and everything, and the evolution of Hulk Hogan from the red and yellow in WWF to, you know, the black and white in WCW, and, you know, how those characters are formed and changed. And it's such an incredible moment. And it's people like that, that again, the Warrior, the character makes an impact on people. And if you're a true wrestling fan, you can appreciate that.
Right. You know?
People think I banter too much. Fuck you.
What I say is real, damn it.
It's real to me.
It's real to me, damn it. We don't normally talk about independent wrestling. I'm going to talk about independent wrestling for a minute, if you're cool with that. Tonight, I got Southland Championship Wrestling presents Hangover over in Chaban Civic Center. Starts up at 6. High Voltage starts up at 6, and I was listening to some promos on Facebook, or some videos, I guess. You call them promos, you call them, I don't fucking know what you call them. It didn't make sense to me, but a couple of the guys who I booked into matches pity partying about their fucking matches, and I get it. You know, like, oh, Travis, he's put me in a second match of the night. It's fucking wrestling, grow the fuck up. Especially one who's a fucking former MMA fighter who, you know, he thinks that, you know, he won't back down for a challenge. He won't back down for a fight. He wants to throw a hissy fit that I haven't gave him a championship opportunity. It's like, I get it, Apex, you know, you're the guy, you know, you're beating everyone up. You're undefeated on High Voltage. That's cool. Good for you and everything. But when you act like a dick and, you sit there and you think you can do what you want and everything. And it's cool that, you know, you can be on the phone with me and you can call me boss and you can be a little disgruntled about your match, but you accept it for what it is. And then you hang up the phone and you start talking to a camera that's for some reason just sitting there on your shelf, you know, just recording. I don't get it, but hey, you know, whatever, do you. And you want to sit there and, you know, tell me that, you know, that you're dedicating the match to me. First off, I appreciate it. Fucking Nubby's been wrestling for 20 fucking years, never once dedicated a match to me. But that's fine. So you want to dedicate a match to me because you're going to make an example of KJ Carter? I mean, I doubt it. Dude's a little quick. I don't know if you'll be able to catch him, but that's fine. But, you know, a couple months ago, you went out of your way to lose on High Voltage. I don't care what you think. I care about what the books say. And the book says that your victory got reversed and you did lose because you wanted to be petty and shitty and, you know, not break a submission. You want to sit there and blame the referee because, oh, the referee doesn't know how to break a submission. You should know how to break a fucking submission. If you put somebody into a crossface and you don't remember how to fucking unlock your fingers, you know, that's on you. That's your problem. Yeah. You know, when the bell fucking rings, your match is fucking over, buddy. But no, you just wanted to keep going. You wanted to blame it on the cries and pleas from, you know, the fucking, you know, family that you couldn't hear the referee that's right next to your face. Hey, I get it. Your ears are probably all fucking smashed up from being pounded in the fucking head your whole fucking life. I get it. A little fucking goofy. I don't understand because they're huge as fuck, almost antenna-like, you know? I get it. Maybe your fucking father was Dumbo. I don't fucking know, but I could tell by the size of the fucking ears, it's probably right. But you can't blame me for being a loser. That's not on me, buddy. That's on you. You lost because you chose to, you know, do what you want to do. Go into business for yourself, as I believe people say. You're lucky I didn't suspend you and fine you. You did break the hold as I asked you to. I should still fine you, but I didn't because I'm a good fucking person. So don't blame me because you don't have a title match. Yes, I could be the one to give it to you, but earn it. Just earn it. You know, you're doing so well as being a good fucking person. And then you became an asshole. That's not on me. You know, you side yourself with and everything. Me and Dizzle J had a long history with fucking Keith. Me and Dizzle J had a long history with a lot of fucking presidents of fucking SCW. Keith being one of them. Keith was a good fucking dude. And then he became an asshole. Joined up with Bulletproof LLC and, you know, became a dick. And then, you know, became a good guy, teaming with Titans of Destruction. And then betrayed Titans of Destruction, became a dick again. Now he's siding with you, teaching you all the wrong fucking things. Be better, buddy. Don't be a dick. That's all I'm saying.
He's got that Big Show thing going, huh?
Is that what?
You got that Big Show thing going?
I don't know what the hell's the Big Show thing.
Heel face. Heel face.
No, no, he doesn't have that. Oh, wait, you're talking about Keist.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I thought you were talking about Apex. No, Apex is just an idiot. Yeah, no, Keith, yeah, 100%. It's like, you know, who do I want to be right now? It's like, okay, well, it's whoever he can fucking, you know, hitch his fucking wagon to and keep him relevant in SCW, which I get it. I mean, fucking Sentinel's been gone. Thank fucking God. Terry's still there. I don't know why presents keep showing up. I'm sorry, but if you don't have a job anymore, fucking move on. But whatever. Freiberg is another one who's throwing a fit because he's in two different tag matches in the night. It's like, hey, man. Whatever flat top books you on the main card has nothing to do with me. If you're my champion, that means I get to book you on my show. And yeah, you know, you're not getting a title. You're not having to defend the title tonight, you know, so you're welcome on that aspect. But yeah, your story with Omar and Turtle, it's not fucking over because I booked a match. I'm the author of the fucking story, believe it or not. It's weird to think, but it's true. I'm writing the next chapter. And next chapter is Omar and Turtle versus Punitive Damages. Hopefully, together, they can get a little bit of retribution for the shitty things that Freiberg has done, which, yes, maybe as, you know, high voltage general manager, I could, you know, strip him of the title because he's not doing it right. But then what kind of fucking manager am I be micromanaging the fucking people? You know?
Right.
I'm not a big fan of shady fucking shit. But at the same time, you know, like, you just have to allow cards to fall where they are and hope for the fucking best. And you know, it happened to Turtle. Turtle overcame it, became champion. Unfortunately, you know, he lost the title because of shady shit. And he wanted to blame me for months about it. But we got over it. We're good now. I think him being a general manager of Rocket Pro Wrestling, I think he's starting to have a little bit of the more of understanding where I'm coming from, because shady shit happens over there and he just lets it go because he's too busy being locked into offices and whatever. And, you know, it's... It's just, and this isn't a dig on Turtle. I'm not opening up fucking wounds to start everything over again. I'm just saying, I think he kind of understands where I'm coming from. And sometimes shit just happens and you have to accept it for what it is. Yes, exactly. We're general managers of our shows, but we don't own the fucking company, you know? So we kind of, we are shackled in certain things and we have to just allow things to be what they are. Luckily, Turtle does have more pull on his company than I have on mine, so he's able to do a little bit more on his, which I can respect it, and I think it's awesome. He's earned that. But I think he understands a little bit more. Johnny Chaos isn't complaining about his two matches. He's ready to go. He's ready to fight. Good for fucking him. KJ Carter's returning to High Voltage. Buck, he's debuting here on High Voltage. I think he was at the Mr. Bill Classic. I can't remember. I was really heavily medicated that night, so I'm not quite sure. But yeah, you know, it's Freiberg, fucking Apex. They want to complain and whine that they're getting more opportunities to be in front of the fans. Well, that's on them. Grow the fuck up, people. This isn't anything new or different. You know, the old Apex, the, you know, babyface Apex, he was all on board to have two matches. Now this shitty ass bag fucking Apex wants to be like, no, I gotta have two matches. Well, I'm gonna make an example of Carter. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah, put okay. on a good match for me, please.
Right. He told me I need to be paying attention. I got news for you, buddy. I'm commentating the match. Of course I'm paying attention. Stupid. And I can say this because, first off, I'm on a microphone. What's he going to do? And secondly, yeah, I'm a fucking general manager. He's not going to put his fucking hands on me.
No.
So, no, I'm fine. Yeah. I mean, there's no security to stop him, but it's whatever. But I'm excited. I'm excited for tonight. I'm excited for SCW Hangover. I'm excited for you to come to an SCW show again somewhere down the line. Creed's facing Mulligan for the championship. Angel's facing Erica for the championship. Dysfunction's putting their titles on the line. it's going to be a good show. It really is, and I'm really excited for it. But I wanted to kind of express my feelings about what Apex and Freiburg have been saying. Because, well, you know, first off, I can. You know, well, this whole show. Yeah, you know, well, it's my show. But, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Like, I mean, the whole reason this fucking exists is for me to say whatever I want to say from time to time. It's cool. Regardless of what people say, if I want to talk about Angel more times than I should, that's on me. Leave me alone. You know, fuckers. God. Jagoffs. That's why I get told, you talk about Angel way too much. Who gives a fuck? I talk about the entertainment I enjoy. I love women's wrestling. I want more of it. I need more independent wrestling women's fucking matches and shit. Fucking last night, Dreamwave put on an all-women's show, and I think that's fantastic. CSW has women on their show all the time. SCW has women matches pretty much every single month. None of these other companies are putting on women's matches, and I think that sucks and that's dog shit. IPW over time to time have, you know, revamp people, and I can't remember the other girl's name off the top of my head, and I feel bad for that. But they book women. It's like I need more women's wrestling and independent wrestling, because they're out there and they put on amazing fucking matches. So, you want me to talk about other people? Give me something else to fucking talk about. The fact that fucking, when you look at the longevity of people and you look at the veterans in this business and everything, I've talked about Mulligan to fucking death. I talked about Creed to fucking death. This new generation of sabotage happening and everything. Yeah, I'm going to talk about Angel. I'm going to talk about Aaron. I'm going to talk about Dysfunction. I talk about Freiburg a lot. People don't think I'm fucking talking about him way too much. I talk about him every time I talk about SCW. But why? Because Angel's a woman. They feel that I talk about her way too fucking much because I got a crush on her or some shit. Big fucking deal. Get off my ass. Okay? Damn.
Has Angel said anything?
No, she appreciates that. You know, I'm giving her the fucking exposure that she deserves, right? I talk about Aaron Xavier. No one complains about that. But, you know, I'm giving people the exposure that they deserve because people want to overlook them because they're the fucking bad guy. See, I don't know what to tell you. You want me to talk about Hunter Payne? How about Hunter Payne have a fucking match? I don't know what to tell you. I mean, Jesus Christ. You know, you want me to talk about James Creed? Why? Because I talked about him so much. Nothing against him. Awesome fucking dude. Rising fucking star in this business. Fucking love James Creed. Yeah. Love his matches. Loves what he does in this fucking business. You know? When he does shit, I do talk about it. The same thing with fucking Angel. When she does something, I talk about it. It's not my fault that SCW keeps putting Angel in fucking moments and shit that needs to be mentioned in wrestling because nobody else wants to fucking talk about that shit. They want to overlook what people like Angel does for the shit that Creed does or Mulligan does or, you know, Aaron Xavier does or VJ Price does or Apex does, which... VJ and Aaron, they need to be talked about because they are rising stars in this, Apex and VJ, because they're rising stars in the business. They need to be fucking acknowledged. I talk about Dysfunction because no one ever wants to talk about the fucking tag team moments and shit like that, you know? Yeah. I talk about Miles Mercer because nobody wants to talk about Miles Mercer because they want to talk about rising stars and fucking headliners. But there's more people that create fucking cards and shit than just that. Right. And I talk about all of that. But because I talk about a girl, 2024, people. 2024. Jesus Christ. Jay, you're on here one time a month.
Yep.
Before we go, and I don't see you for, I don't know, actually a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Is it next week? 2 weeks. Is
it? 2 weeks, I think.
Well, until I see you again, is there anything else wrestling related that's been happening that you want to talk about that we haven't got talked about yet?
I think that's all I got, man.
Okay. I don't know what's... Nothing else going on in wrestling that you want to share or discuss or that you've seen that needs to be brought up? I know the draft lottery, I think, is what happened next Friday. I think it's starting next Friday.
Is it really?
I think so.
I'm a little behind this week, so
next Friday I think is the 26th. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the lottery starts next Friday and finishes up the following Monday. NXT is doing fantastic. I think it was awesome that a lot of the NXT, especially the NXT, both the women's and men's champions, showed up on Monday Night Raw. I think that was awesome. Wrestling is just good right now. It really is. I need to find a way to watch TNA. I need to do that. I really do want to look into New Japan. I know we kind of talk about how we do talk about New Japan, but we've never once spoken about New Japan. But we need to. And I really want to dive into, I don't want to, but I should kind of like follow AEW too. I mean, as much as I hate it as a wrestling podcast, we need to talk about all wrestling. So, but wrestling is good right now. And regardless, if you want to call it the Triple H era, the Paul Levesque era, whatever era you want to call it, it's going good. Everything is solid. Everything fucking awesome. The new championships. How do you feel about those new tag team titles?
Ooh, much better than the old ones.
I didn't get a chance to watch SmackDown last night, but I did see the picture of it. Those are Attitude Era replicas, aren't they?
It looks like it. Yeah.
They kind of go back to the Attitude Era tag team titles, and they're what? I think they're just WWE tag team champions compared to I think Raw's the World Tag Team Championships. Which I think the World Tag Team Championships are kind of a play on the World Championship.
They'll probably follow one another.
Yeah, so fantastic. I'm so glad they got rid of the stupid fucking Trojan Gladiator Circle bullshit. Spartans, whatever the fuck they were. Hated them. I think these new championships are absolutely fucking amazing. I love WWE again. And it's weird because a few months back, I remember Tommy, the referee over at South End Championship Wrestling, he posted something about loving this business or some shit and, you know, his whole big thing. I'm like, I'm going to be somebody. It's like, no, you're not, but whatever. I remember commenting on one of his posts and saying, talking about how much I fucking hate this business. That it's kind of just a job at this fucking point.
Yeah.
And at the time, I meant it. Not anymore. I'm starting to love this business again. And until somebody pisses me off, I'll probably change my mind again. But right now, I'm in a good place with it. So independent wrestling, televised wrestling, everything's fucking going great as far as the wrestling business. And I think it only gets better from here.
Definitely. Hopefully. Man.
Yeah.
It got there stagnant for me for a while, too. And now it's like, okay, I can't wait to watch. Gotta go. So
awesome, guys. In the meantime, make sure you check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter just by searching JFW Podcast. You could watch our podcast over on our YouTube channel, JFW Podcast, or you can listen to it wherever you pick a podcast at. Just search your favorite streaming app. Find us, make sure you subscribe to us. If they ask you to rate and review us, please do so because that does help us out. And we 100% would love for you to subscribe over at JFW Podcast. I said we started putting the videos out there, and as much as I love the views, we need the subscriptions too. So head over there and make sure you subscribe and shit. Tell your fucking kids to tell their friends to fucking subscribe to us. They're on fucking YouTube all the fucking time. Click on it.
They're all subscribed already.
Well, tell them to tell their friends to fucking subscribe. I don't care who the fuck it is. Here's the thing. I want to do some fucking giveaways, but we can't do that until we get enough fucking people on YouTube. You know, I want to give away some fucking wrestling comics and shit. Who knows? Maybe I'll fucking give away some fucking Funkos. I want to give shit away, but I'm not going to give it away until we get some numbers on fucking YouTube. Start telling people. Post on fucking Facebook. Help me out here, Jay.
All right.
God damn it. That's all I got.
Time to ring the bell on this episode. I did it right.
No, you did. It's just, I just remember, like, in my head, here in fucking Mondays, I believe it's time to ring the bell. It's just, no, you did fine. Let's try it again. That's all I got.
Time to ring the bell on this episode.
Perfect. As always, I am Travis C.
I'm Dizzle J.
And thank you for listening to another episode of Just Freaking Wrestling, the JFW Podcast.
Peace.